Let us pray. Almighty God, you have set your word before us today. Give us grace to do all that you have spoken to your people. Today God is forming a people. He's gathering broken fragments. He's forming into some new thing that restores the image of himself in this world. And God's people is one people among many peoples. Missionary groups keep tabs on these sorts of things. One agency estimates that there are about 17,281 distinct people groups in the world. And out of these, about 7,246 are considered by that same agency to be unreached people, people who have never heard the gospel of the kingdom. And the American people make up just one of those roughly 17,000, though many in our time are asking what even makes us a people anymore, I would say. As our nation approaches the celebration of its 250th birthday, we might look around and wonder what actually holds this thing together. Politics seems to hold little ability to maintain the connections that we need. Family life and the institutions which have traditionally supported it have eroded to a point where it's hard to recognize any continuity with what our forebears called family. And as I talk with people, both young and old, people retiring or people entering their working days, I get the sense from most people that we're all just sort of cohabitating together. We live our lives parallel to one another, never really touching each other. Sure, there's a friendly wave, but little points of real contact with family and neighbors alike. And so, God's remedy to all this, God's remedy is to come and make a people. We chanted this morning to all the peoples of the earth that the Lord is the one who made all our lands. We come before his presence this morning to offer him a song of praise and to give the great thanksgiving of the Eucharistic feast. The psalmist reminds us that God is the one to whom everything belongs, because he is the one that made all things in heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible, as we confess in the creed each week. The people of God belong to the Lord, like how a flock of sheep belong to their shepherd. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, Israel holds a unique place in the eyes of God, the scriptures tell us. They are the only people which the 150 Psalms identify as sheep. The rest of the nations, well, they're compared to all sorts of other things, but God's people are the one in 17,000 who get the strange honor of bleating out his praises before all the world. This is what Jesus sees when he looks upon his people in the book of Matthew this morning. Our Lord is moving about the land, teaching in cities and villages, working his way through synagogues as the itinerant preacher and healer. And when he looks upon the people who flock to him, he has compassion for them. Because, Matthew says, they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And poor little sheep, what are they to do? These sheep of his pasture that come looking for healing and teaching have no one to lead them. The Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees have laid up heavy burdens for them to carry around, let alone the struggles of family, food, finances, the list goes on. Yet these are the ones who belong to the Lord, despite their maladies and injuries. They are the sheep of his pasture. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. No way it can happen. No bad rulers, no illness, not even death itself will be able to rob the sheep of their good shepherd. Christ's compassion for his people has always been there, of course. Today in the book of Exodus, God identifies his people as a treasure possession among all the peoples of the world. Of everyone he could choose from, Israel takes the cake. But the people whom God has formed for himself only know this because of the grace and mercy he has shown them in their bondage in Egypt. Christ has borne them up on eagle's wings and brought them to himself in the wilderness. The people of God are his most prized possession. They are what other people come to see, as we see elsewhere in Scripture. They're the reason that kings and queens come to the promised land to learn and to worship. Now, surely all the world belongs to God, but the people of God are the crown jewels of his kingdom. They are the most exquisite part of the whole thing. These precious jewels define the king's royalty and prestige in the world, and they set it apart from among the other kingdoms of this world. And this is the same people that God calls helpless and looks upon with compassion. How can Christ's compassion bring together two starkly different parts of our identity as the people of God? We are simultaneously the people who set God's goodness and majesty on display for all the world to see, and we are helpless, deeply in need of the compassion and mercy of God. And the only way this makes sense is that even our trials and travails are precious to him. They make up some part of the people of God which he looks upon with eyes of grace and mercy. St. Paul tells us that it was while we were sinners Christ died for us. For we were harassed by sin and sorrow and death, by the world, the flesh, and the devil. All these things stood against us. They charmed the sheep to leave the care of their shepherd. And they became terrible rulers who promised greener grass, but only left us wading through thorns and thickets. And that was exactly the right time, Paul says. All the sufferings and sins of God's people make up the right time. They add to the right hour that leads Christ, the Son of God, to his hour of death upon the cross. God demonstrates his love for us. He shows us that we are his treasured possession, not because of our stylish wool or our impressive bleeding. We're treasured only as the sheep of his pasture find our wool saturated blood of the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. Christ's Passover lamb is sacrificed for us. And this is the kind of people God is looking for. He is looking for the harassed and helpless. And when he sees them, he acts so that more might be led into his pasture. In response to the needs of his people, Jesus tells his disciples that they are to pray for more laborers to enter into the harvest fields. And then, in typical Jesus fashion, he makes happen what he tells his followers to look for. God calls to his disciples, and he gives them authority to care for and to defend his sheep from the wiles of this world. 12 men are the answer to prayers for more harvest workers, more under-shepherds who will care for God's little flock. Who would you want to care for the people of God? If it were up to you, how would you tend God's sheep? Well, maybe you'd run a series of interviews. You could put out a call for the best shepherds in the land. And of course, you'd want someone competent, someone with the right skill set who can do the job well. And who is it that God calls forward to lead his harassed and helpless people? 12 men. Two brothers who can't stop arguing about who's the best. One is a former IRS agent and a traitor to his own people. One who will lie about ever even knowing him. And then there's a turncoat who will betray him with a kiss. No doubt 11 of these disciples will become some of the most prominent saints in the history of the church. Yet before God does his work in them to achieve their saintly status, he calls them to himself from among his people. For while they were yet sinners, Christ called them, commissioned them as his apostles, and sent them out to bear witness to his kingdom. Freely you have received, now freely give, Jesus charges them. It is the Lord's grace all the way through his church. Among his people, from the bishops, the priests, the deacons, the laity, we have all received grace upon grace. We receive it all, that we are saints and sinners all the way through, God's treasured possession despite our sins and failures. And it shows us that God wants you. God desires you. He wants every part of who you are, and he will stop at nothing to have you, even when it meant his own death. And out of this people that God calls, he builds a church. God is making a holy people, a kingdom of priests to proclaim who he is in the world. Our struggles with the world, the flesh, and the devil are not disqualifiers in the kingdom of God. Seeing God's grace at work as we wrestle with our own temptations and sorrows is our qualification to share in this royal priesthood, because it is Christ's grace which has covered them. It is in these places where we freely receive his grace and mercy, that we will be equipped and sent out to give freely to the world who needs what it is that we have been given. Yes, God is making a people for himself, a people whose only hope is in his saving work. We know we cannot save ourselves, and we are not ashamed as he does his work in us. It is just in the places where we are harassed and helpless that God is at work. He calls to his sheep, to us, and he makes us his treasure possession, a kingdom of priestly sheep who offer the peace of his blood wherever it is that we may go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.